Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Come back with me, if you will. About 25 years ago or so, it's Hogmanay. It's late on Hogmanay. On the TV screen, it's showing a darkened studio. The lights come up to reveal a figure in an armchair. I hear there before. Hello. What kind of a day have you had? Has it been a good day? Has something really wonderful happened to you today, like your train being on time? You know it, of course. It's the wonderful Reverend I.M. Jolly, with 5 minutes of doom and gloom and disaster, frequently involving his wife, Ephesia. And the most wonderful line that ever appeared on TV, it was then that the dog was sick. Wonderfully funny, as I say, and just the right time at the right thing at the right time. But just contrast the Reverend I.M. Jolly with the feelings in the message given out this morning, the feelings given out by the letter of Peter, which we heard. Something really wonderful had happened to him. Peter is overflowing with joy and with praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Never mind the Reverend I.M. Jolly. Peter's epistle is a letter of true Christian hope. This, after all, is the man who denied his master, lost all hope when Jesus was crucified. Then on Easter morning, he ran to the empty tomb, his hope awakened. Later, at the Sea of Galilee, it was Peter who was so excited that he jumped into the water and waded ashore, first of all, just to meet Jesus. It was a life-changing experience for him, as it should be for all of us. He has been given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. So Peter is looking ahead, looking towards that inheritance that he now has through Christ, an inheritance that he never deserved. Indeed, none of us do. But it is a sure inheritance, one that is kept for every Christian, just as we are helped by God's power. This is the true joy of us all in the present. Even when we go through trials, even when we experience pain and grief, times of challenge can be faced because of our faith in Jesus Christ. And although we haven't seen Jesus face to face as Peter did, it's still possible to share that faith in him. Peter's words are an outburst of joyful praise and hope. Such praise and such joy should describe us on this Sunday after Easter, and not the quietness that we often experience today. In the church calendar, today is referred to as a low Sunday, although I've heard some weary ministers muttering that it usually refers to the numbers attending worship, but it's a low Sunday. But here on that Sunday, here is Peter calling, not to a remote and distant God, but to the God who is like the Jesus that he knew, a God to whom we may come with boldness and with confidence. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. This idea of a new birth runs right through the whole of the New Testament, the belief that God has given us a new and different kind of life. Whatever else it means, It means that we should be changed so dramatically and so radically that it can only be likened to beginning a new life. That life has begun again, all over again. Great. A new life, a life with Jesus. Let's get started. Well, what is contained in the New Testament about this new life, this new birth? John 1, verse 12. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. New birth happens by the will of God and by an act of God. The first thing that we learn then is it's not something that we can achieve on our own, nor it is a decision of earthly parents when they want to start or to extend a family. It is not something that we can win by our own earthly efforts. New birth happens by the grace and the power of God. This is reinforced in John 3 at verse 5, where Jesus is teaching Nicodemus, a member of the Sanhedrin, about new birth. I tell you the truth, that no man can enter into the kingdom of heaven unless he is born of water and the Spirit. New birth comes when we allow ourselves to be completely open to the Holy Spirit, when we allow the Holy Spirit to take us over and permit God to make of us what he wills. New birth can only occur when God is in control, when God wills it and is in his own time. New birth happens by the word of truth. At 1 Peter 1, at verse 23, we read, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. In the beginning, it was the word of God which saw the creation of heaven and earth and all that is in them. It was when God was speaking that the chaos became a new world. It was when God was speaking that the world was equipped with life and for life. It is the creative word of God in Jesus Christ that brings us new life. It is by constantly studying the words of God's book, by understanding their relevance for our lives today, day by day and every day. It's then that we begin to see God's truth. New birth begins by the word of truth. James 1, verse 18. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. The result of this new birth is that we become first fruits of a new creation. We're lifted out of this present world, lifted out of a world marked by change and decay, out of a world riddled by selfish wrongdoing, gloom and doom, into a new world, a world of the here and now with Jesus. A world where we are in living touch with God's eternal promise of life with him. God has chosen us. He's chosen us not to retreat from the world around us, but to live our lives caring for and serving the world in his name, sharing with others the joy and the pleasure of being in a new generation of his followers. When we receive new birth, we are given a living hope. Writing to the church in Ephesus, Paul was very clear about what life was like for folk before they learned about Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2:12, we read, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." The ancient world was a world without hope. Living about the time roughly between the prophets Jeremiah and Zechariah, the Greek writer Sophocles wrote this: "Not to be born at all That is by far the best fortune. The second best is that as soon as we are born, return with all speed from whence you came. To the folk of the time, the world was a place where everything withered and died. Life might be pleasant enough at times, but ultimately everyone was headed for eternal cold darkness. And it was to such a world that Jesus gave hope. There are two things which emphasize this wonderful change of bringing hope into a darkened and depressed world. Firstly, as Peter says in his letter, we are given new life not from seed which is earthly and corruptible, seeds which will decay and die. We are given new life through something of the seed of God. We, as Christians, we have something contained within us that will never fade away, never cease to exist, but will continue in some form or another. And it's only when we meet God face to face that we will really know what that's like. And then we will live forever in the company of God and in that great company of saints with him. It is a new birth to something that will survive any test of time and decay. The second reason why we can be sure of this new birth is almost certainly why this reading from Paul's epistle is recommended for reading today. That reason is no less than the greatest moment in history. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing left now for us to fear. There's nothing left for us to worry about. There's nothing left for us to hope to face without hope. Jesus Christ has conquered death. Not only did he conquer death, he can walk with us. Because he's alive, he is with us. He can walk with us all our days. He can be our guide and our friend. No matter what faces us, we have hope. Hope which is grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love, proved by his death and his resurrection. This new birth is a new birth to righteousness. Now, throughout much of the New Testament, righteousness means that we live life as God wants us to do it, and that all we do is part of that very special personal relationship we have with God. And in my dictionary, there's a lovely one-word addition to the definition of being righteous. It's genuine. In this new birth, we are rid of all the bad habits, all our wrongdoings, all the things that we do that displease God, our sin, as it's often put, the shackles with which we chain ourselves, greed, worry, selfishness, all the other things that cause us and God pain are gone. Now, that's not to say we cannot and will not sin again. We're all human. And while we're still part of this earthly toil, we're weak and we're vulnerable, so we will slip and fall. However, we live in the knowledge of God's grace and God's power so that we can be forgiven. We can fall, but we can rise again. And we know that in our deepest darkness, God will be there for us, supporting, caring, forgiving. Even better than that, our new birth in Jesus means love. 1 John 4 at verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. If we do have new birth in God, then we're free from earthly selfishness. We're free from the bitterness, this unforgiving bitterness of a life centered on ourselves. Our new birth in Jesus means that we're free. Free to realize that our greatest need and our deepest desire is to follow the example of Jesus, to follow an example of humble sacrifice, an example of unconditional service, an example of complete forgiveness, an example of eternal love. And finally, our new birth in Christ is a new birth in victory. Jesus Christ has risen. Life has ceased to be a defeat. It's a new life, a victory with Jesus, a victory over self and sin and circumstances and anything else that stands in our way, the way of our life with God. We live this life with God in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls. He is an essential part of who we are as people and as Christians. Today, on this second Sunday of Easter, by the will of God, the first fruits of God's new generation, with his eternal hope, incorruptible and unafraid, righteous and loving, forgiven and victorious, we are able to live life in a new way. We have learned the secret and the power of God, of a loving, living God. Jesus Christ is alive and he's always with us. Amen.